Blog Talk Radio.
August 24th, 2013. I want to start off by taking you back. I want to take you way back to when you were a little kid, when you were weak and your parents were strong. You know, back then, they rewarded you when you followed the rules, and they punished you when they didn't. They punished you. So when you made a mistake, you expected to be punished. When you made a mistake, you thought you were going to be punished. And this model of the world became your habitual point of view. It became implanted in your mind as your habitual picture of the way the world works. And that's why people can't stand criticism. When you tell them they did something wrong, they flash back. They flash back to when they were living with their parents, and they think they're weak and the other guy is strong. They think they're weak and the other guy is strong, and they think they're going to die. And that hallucination is what runs most people's lives. They are desperate for a pat on the head, and they dread making a mistake. And you know why? Because they're afraid of their parents. They're afraid of their mom and their dad, especially their dad. And it makes them very thin-skinned. They think their lives are over when someone criticizes them about anything. And the worst, of course, is when their girlfriends or boyfriends or husbands or wives don't like them anymore. That's seen as the most total kind of condemnation. They feel cut off from everything. And if the person is a wimp, you know, he'll crawl away into the woodwork and he'll hide after he's criticized. But if he's got some guts, he'll try to counterattack and invalidate your critique, yeah, even though you're right, probably. Anyway, all that kind of stuff, all the running away and all the fighting, it's unnecessary, because if you have a brain in your head, you're going to know that when you make a mistake, you're not going to die. When you make a mistake, you're not going to die. That's the secret to a good life. You've got it here from me. You just got to remind yourself of it every day. In everyday life, you're not in terrible danger. You think you're a bunny in a shark tank, but you're not. Even if you goof up and no one likes you. And that's a lesson everyone has to know on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
This, ladies and gentlemen and Canadians, is the Recruiting Animal Show.
Short one, Jerry. What's wrong? You feel a little weak today?
No, I ate a maple-flavored candy.
No eating before the show, okay?
No, I don't know what happened. Don't
I'm
put me on the spot like
this.
Nobody
well.
Noticed. Nobody noticed, man. But you,
yeah,
thanks a lot. Now everybody knows.
Yeah. Don't be a bunny in a shark tank. You know what? You called in late, and then you had a minimal kind of shout. Just take it like a man, will ya?
Did I call in before or after 12:00?
After.
No.
After. She already said the show was starting when your 6:00 appeared. Anyway, we got a guest today who never feels like a bunny in a shark tank, okay? She makes other people feel like a bunny in a shark tank. She's got to be the most cocksure recruiter in the recruitosphere. And she thinks that most...
Can you say that?
Cocksure is a legitimate word. Look it up, okay? It's not a dirty word. Okay. She thinks that most salary advice sucks. So she's here today on a mission. To set us all straight, let's bring her on now. Amy Allen! Are you here?
I'm here. I feel slightly violated, but I'm here.
Oh, don't. I mean, I speak the Queen's English. I speak the Queen's English.
Yeah, apparently. I'm going to have to look that one up on Urban Dictionary and make sure it's not anywhere near twerking.
Yeah. Okay, should we sing before you introduce yourself, or should I let you introduce
yourself?
We
can try. I've heard this song exactly twice now, so I don't really know how it goes, but we'll give it a shot.
It made me think of you. It made me think of you when I heard it.
I appreciate that. Because I've been listening to Master of Puppets all morning, made me think of you. So
I don't know that song, Master of Puppets. If you would have told me
okay.
a little earlier, I would have learned that one.
We could have prepared for it. No problem. Maybe next time.
Okay, we're going to go. The lyrics are right there on the show page.
I got it.
Okay?
I got the lyrics. I don't know how it goes. I don't know the
tune,
so I might lapse
into
a little, you know.
Okay. Let's just
get it
over with, okay?
What song is it, man? Because maybe other people want to look it up here, and you haven't...
I've got
Katy
all the links.
Perry.
Katy Perry.
Roar.
Yeah. She did it.
Nobody goes to your webpage, dude.
No, how do they get to the show?
They call the number.
Business. Let's not bore people, okay?
I put the number in my
then
phone.
Let's all hang up.
Okay, one, two, three, okay? One, two, three. Well, I got the
eye of the tiger.
Because
the
fighter. Fighter, yes, I am a champion. Come on, and you're gonna
hear
me
roar. Louder than a lion.
We are not singing it right. You know what? I thought you could have done the.
I don't think I could do it. I failed you. I'm not up with the kids.
Yeah, they all fail me. They all fail me.
I know.
Okay, introduce yourself.
I'm ashamed.
Introduce yourself.
I am I'm the most cocksure recruiter in the recruiter sphere, which includes the United Kingdom,
Australia, I gave that part already.
Canada.
Just say what you do.
I already said that. Okay, I am a corporate recruiter, former agency recruiter. I run my mouth a lot on the internet. I talk a lot of smack all the time.
What kind of people do you
recruit? And people
constantly
try to call
people?
Me out, but they're usually wrong.
Yeah, what kind of
What's
job
that?
Titles are you recruiting, Amy? What kind of job titles
Program
are you recruiting?
Program managers and software development engineers.
Okay, so you're in the software.
For a fairly large device and services company.
Yeah, okay, you're in the software business. And you claim that most of the salary advice online is bad advice. So what we're going to do first is look at some of the bad advice, right? Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
Now, you say that leaving the salary if you've got an application form and the company wants you to put down your salary expectation and you don't put it there, you're in big trouble. Is that right?
It raises a flag. I mean, there better be a really good reason for me to call you if you're going to just willfully ignore, you know, parts of the process.
Okay. Why does every single coach, except your buddy HR Nasty, tell you not to say what you want? They all do it. Every one of them says, make the other guy go first. Don't tell them what you want.
They do say that. And I would say this. I would say, well, let's see. How many offers are Amy and HR Nasty giving on a weekly or monthly basis? And how many offers are the career coaches extending? Who knows what they're talking about? Probably the ones that are actually making offers.
Okay.
So why do they say that? I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
I know why they do it,
because
they don't want you to lowball yourself. If you say, you know, you're willing to take 55 and really the employer is ready to pay you 70, you don't want to deliver yourself to his, wiles.
And that happens. I mean, they actually have stories where this has actually happened, because I have stories where the reverse has happened, where somebody has been much lower than what I'm offering, and it's the best kind of phone call where I get to call them and say, hey, guess what? I just got you like a, 37% raise. Yay. I mean, that's a good thing. I'm not going to intentionally lowball
somebody. You're saying it's more likely that if someone puts a salary down and you're willing to offer more, that they're going to give you more than you want, then they're going to lowball
you.
Is that right?
I will give what position pays regardless of what the previous salary was. However, it's important, because if somebody was making significantly more or their expectations are out of line, I need to be able to say, hey, I'm sorry, you want $200K. We can only do $150, maybe next time, maybe another role or whatever. So that's why it's important.
Okay, but let's say
need to be on the same page.
Let's say my walk away is 60. I'll take 60. But I want 70. I should always put the high end of my range there. Is that right?
I think if we're talking about a desired salary, then put your desired salary. If your desired salary is 70 and I can only go to 68, I'm still going to call you and say, hey, listen, I know you're looking for 70. Here's where we're at. Let's talk about that. How important is that to you? Why is this the target number? You know, if you're willing to work with me on 68, great, then we'll talk. But if your target is 70 and the position pays 40, then I'll say, okay, thanks for playing. Position pays 40. You
okay,
know,
hold on a second. Wait
role.
A second. It's not that simple. Not that simple, dear. What
Why
if,
isn't it that simple?
What if you say 70? You're really willing to take 60, but you don't want to be lowballed at 60, so you say 70. And then in the meantime, somebody else with similar qualifications to you puts 65 in. You're not going to call Mr. 70, are you?
Are they worth 70? Of course I would call them. If that's close enough to my range and the person is clearly qualified, I'm going to call them. I'm not going to reject somebody over a few thousand dollars until we've had more time to talk about it. That's ridiculous.
So it's better to highball them than to lowball them, right? If you've got a range and the company forces you to state your salary you want, you should give them the top of the range just to make sure that they don't stick you at the bottom of the range.
You should give them the salary you want. And if that's what you consider to be high in the range, then so be it. If it's the middle of the range, that's fine too. But the desired salary is what you should put.
I have a question.
What you want to make.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Couple of things, Amy. Do you guys, first of all, most companies don't post what the salary is.
Right.
So how do people know if they're lowballing or highballing?
Well, apparently career coaches will be the first to tell them. I think that's a great point. I think there's a lot of salary information all over the internet. I know for myself, when I did it, I talked to other recruiters. I talked to people who'd been at my company before. I talked to people who were in similar roles. You know, where should I be? What makes sense? I looked on the internet. I looked everywhere and kind of came up with what I thought.
I think we're more savvy as recruiters to do that. I don't think the average candidate is. So also, don't you guys have, like, when I worked at Sodexo, we had salary caps on, you know, on certain levels of positions. You guys have the same thing?
Yeah.
So do you screen someone who might be 15K above?
You know, I mean, 15K for a 200K person is not the same as it is for an 80K person, so I think it depends on how big of a gap that 15K is. I mean, if you're a great candidate, we'll talk about it.
Let me talk. I want to take up the issue that Kathy raised, okay? And you guys started talking. You said you went around and you surveyed everybody to find out what your market value was. Now, that's something that every article advises you to do. And you just said, oh, I went to talk to the recruiters. I want a lot more detail on that. When they say, oh, sir, talk to people, find out how much they're earning, most people don't tell you what they're earning, in my experience. It's a private issue.
No,
okay?
it's not, hey, what's your W-2? It's, hey, what do you, you know, where should someone with my level of experience or my degree or my, you know, whatever, what are you seeing as the norm? What should I ask for? You know, what if you were in my position, what number would you come at? I think these are all reasonable questions. I'm not going to be like, hey, Kathy, what's your salary this year?
Remember, I talked about stories. I like to get a real – first of all, Jerry, you're lying.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. I mean, what are you dreaming? I'm going to dock your salary for bugging me, okay? I'm in the middle of an important question. Amy, what did you say, I mean, to yourself? Who can I talk to find out what I should be earning when I go in for a new job? Tell me exactly what you did. I don't want it general. I don't like general. I don't like meta. I like specific.
Okay, so not the company I'm currently with, but my previous company. When I was talking to that company, I went to the girl who had originally referred me to the job and said, what do you think is reasonable? You work there. You know what the ranges are. I don't need to know what your salary is, but, I, you know, what do you see – that's reasonable. Then I went to another friend who used to work at the company and talked to him, and he actually told me what his salary was. So I had an actual specific number. I talked to my current boss, who I was going to be leaving, but I had a really good relationship with, and said, okay, what do you think? You know, it's a recruiting gig, it's corporate, it's, you know, all these details. And we did some research. We went online and looked at, like, Glassdoor and salary.com and some of these areas, and we put together kind of a range. And then I asked for that number, and I got it.
Okay. Now, the thing is, though, sometimes you'll apply to a company, a candidate, for instance. They don't know anybody on the inside of the firm. You knew two people in this example you gave us, and they can't talk to their current boss about what he or she thinks they should be getting. So all those possibilities that came so easily to you, they're out. What should a person do in that situation? Call up a stranger on LinkedIn and say, hey, I know you're working with this company. I'm applying. What are you earning?
So what about talking to the recruiter at the company? I mean, is that a bad idea? Because that's what I did at my current company where I am now. I talked to the recruiter and I said, okay, here's where I'm at. I feel like I could probably be higher than this. I've talked with some other folks, and I've looked at the Glassdoor ratings and all this information that's out there. What's reasonable? And he and I had multiple conversations about my candidacy, my role that I was applying to, and where we were likely to be. And he told me, I'm going to give you a number. This is a conservative number, but I feel like we could definitely meet this number, if not more. Okay, great. That was an acceptable number for me. You know, that worked. We continued the conversation. I ended up with a much higher number, but he and I had this is the recruiter who was recruiting me, who was actually walking me through the interview process. We had a very transparent conversation.
Right. Okay, and you want to tell us that conservative figure, how much of an increase over what you were earning before that was that? Can you say? Percentage-wise.
It was about $15,000.
Okay, that's not percentage, but that's okay. So even his conservative estimate was $15,000 more than you were earning at that time.
Yes.
Now, you said something else, though, that you know, not everybody agrees with you about. You said you went to Glassdoor and you went to these pay scales online. Yeah, I saw under your article on recruiting blogs about salary negotiations, Sandra McCart wrote something about these salary salary calculators online. She said they're garbage. They're total garbage. What do you think?
You have to look at all of them and come up with a reasonable average. You can't look at any one, because I think she's right in that by themselves, it's like one standalone. You can't look at that and say, okay, that's absolutely the number. It says 60K. It's 60K. No difference, no swaying from that. You have to look at all of them, figure out kind of a range. If you look at something like last year,
what you're saying does not make sense. Here's what she says. Let me tell you, since she's not here, what Sandra McCart told you. She said, it makes me crazy when candidates tell me that they've researched what they should be making on the Internet. So they want $30,000 more than they're making now. I spent a whole day, Sandra said, checking out the different relocation salary calculators between 50 locations and the city where I live. Where do they get this crap? They must be reading tea leaves or getting a vision from the Great Spirit. Not only were they all over the board, every one of them was higher than what I know to be are the salary ranges paid here. Okay? So not one of them was right. So if you go to half a dozen of them, you're still going to get a nonsense figure. You don't believe that. You think Sandra McCart is wrong.
I think she's right for her area of expertise and the area that she lives in. I found in Seattle, they tend to be close. They're going to be off by, you know, 5 or even 10% sometimes, but I have found them to be relatively close, and certainly close enough that we can have a conversation about it. I and the candidate can have an honest conversation, and that's really at the heart of everything that I think about salary negotiations. It comes down to be transparent with the candidates. This is not a game. This is not a, you know, I have to beat the candidate. I have to win. That's ridiculous. This is about solving a problem for a company and delivering a positive message to a candidate that we want to hire you and we want to pay you what you're worth and maybe a little more. Okay, so it comes down to transparency. This gameplay, like, oh, I'm not going to go first, and I don't want to tell you, and, you know, let's act like we're in high school. That is stupid and dangerous, and I don't like it.
Amy, I have to agree with you. Amy, if you're not, this is where I get so upset, and it's not you personally, but companies are not posting salaries. So when candidates apply, again, they have no clue what your range is.
Why do they not know what my range is? If I've already said you can look at places like Glassdoor, which you can look at candidate, you know, people that work at my company that are reporting the range. You can call me, you can email me, you can send me a message on Twitter and say, hey, I saw this role, I'm really interested, can we talk about it? Absolutely, let's talk about it. During that conversation, we can find out. See, I think what you guys are misunderstanding, which is hilarious, considering that recruiters are all about going and finding people and not waiting for people to apply, you're focusing on the application and what you think you should put on the application. We're not always doing an application before I talk to the candidate for the first time. I've probably gone and found them, like recruiters do, and so we can have this conversation long before they get to an application that's asking them for a number.
Okay. You know what? When you call a person on the phone, so you don't talk salary with them?
We talk salary if we're talking about a specific position. If it's just a cold call, hey, I want to see if you're interested, I've got a few different roles that might be a fit, that we're probably not going to have a salary conversation in that first call. But if we get to a point where it's, I've got your resume, you're interested in a specific role, we're talking in more detail now, now we need to talk about salary. We need to have a high-level conversation.
Hold on. On the first call, you expect the candidate to send you a resume without giving any clue about the salary that you're thinking of for any of these jobs, right?
If they're interested in a specific role and we're going to set up a second call to talk about that specific role, yeah, it'd be helpful if I had a resume.
Okay, but you don't talk salary before you get the resume, right?
Probably not, because depending on what their experience is, I mean, that it could be different. Maybe if they're a senior program manager versus a, you know, program manager level
and
one or two. That
also,
that's a good
keep in mind, Amy, in her current role, probably has a wide variety of positions. So there's not a specific salary range that she's recruiting for, right, Amy?
Yeah, I'm not going to give somebody a senior PM salary range and get their resume and see that they're a three-year guy who's really, you know, better suited.
Hold on, I don't get this. No, you're calling the person up. You're having a conversation with him for more than 2 seconds, I assume. And what if you say, you know, Betty or Bill or whatever the person's name is, I'm working on a few positions here. I thought you might be interested. And that person says, well, Amy, can you give me some of the titles? What kind of positions are we talking about? And you tell him, and he says, what's the pay?
Man, who's got their VoIP stuff going on here?
I don't
again?
Know. I can't.
Rude show.
I think it's one of your competitor shows
sabotaging
you. In the very
you.
First call before we talk about a specific position, I'm going to say, well, it depends on the position. You know, we've got, as I've already said, we've got a couple of different levels.
So don't you ever, let me corner you for the benefit of the audience. Do you ever call someone for a specific job, you're recruiting for a certain kind of programmer or project manager or program manager, do you ever call a person on one job? Let's make it simple. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you call up Bill for a program manager job, and you say, Bill, I saw your profile on LinkedIn, or somebody told me that you might be a good candidate for this position. He says, Amy, tell me a bit about it. Will you tell him a bit about it, yes or no?
I will give them a high-level overview, I will send them a link to the job description, and I will schedule a follow-up call, a 30-minute conversation where we can go into more detail, at which point we'll discuss salary.
Uh-huh. Okay, and if he said, Amy, before I send in my resume, I'd just like to know we're in the right ballpark money-wise, what are you going to say?
I would give them a huge range because it really depends. There's a lot of variables.
Well, tell me, what is a huge range?
$40,000? Yeah, I mean, it could be a range of 50K, one way or the other.
Don't touch me. Don't make me corner you, okay?
You can try.
I'm going to, because what you're saying, oh, Bill, it's somewhere between $80,000 and $120,000. He said,
yep,
Amy.
Absolutely.
Are you crazy? No, there's no
Why is that crazy? It could be in that range, depending on the level, depending on the role. It could be in that range. I may have a specific position in mind when I
call,
but I don't know if you qualify for that yet.
Oh, man.
I'm not letting you use the excuse that you're calling on five jobs. You're calling on one job. There's not a $40,000 range in a something at that price level. Come on. I didn't expect you to be so slippery.
Yep.
Okay?
I'm feeling the same thing, Animal.
How is that slippery? What is it that you want me? What are you looking for here?
A number.
Because what if that one position that I have in mind ends up not being the right position for this person? I still want to talk to this person about other roles.
Bill, I'm not going to give you a figure, okay?
In the very first
I'm not
going to
give you a figure,
call.
Bill. If you're going to insist, you can kiss off. I'm giving you an option. Go look at the job description. Send me your resume. Then we'll talk. Is that what you're saying to the guy? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
I want to set up a further conversation that's scheduled where we can block time to talk about all these things. The first call is just, hey, are you interested? Would you even leave your current employer? Does my employer have any, interest for you?
It depends on the money. Can we get to the chase, Amy? Before we move ahead, I'd like to know it's worthwhile. Can you give me an idea of what you're paying?
Okay.
No.
Well, then
no,
apparently career advisors
you're
would tell me
no.
to come back and say, well, what are you currently making? Because the reality is, Animal, whether you like it or not, in my world, it can be a broad range depending on the level. And I will say that. I will say depending on the specific position, depending on the level that you come in at, you could be looking at a base salary of $80,000. You could be looking at a base salary of $130,000.
I'll take $130,000.
What are your thoughts?
You said $130,000.
What the number is?
Yeah, $130,000
you know
sounds good.
You know, we had you for a minute, Amy. You agreed that you're calling on one job, not 50 of them, okay? So you got
okay,
a better
but
idea.
I normally don't do that, first of all, so you're asking me to talk in hypotheticals that I don't usually do, maybe 2% of the time.
Okay, Reed Creamer says, I've never had an internal recruiter be as transparent with a candidate as Animal wants. Why don't you call in, Reed, Big Shot, and tell me what you say
tough
or what
guy.
The people in your company say. I'm dying for examples. And, you know, she's got an opportunity here to say, hold on, let me give you some stories about when I called people. But she's not doing that, is she?
Oh,
okay.
Would you like to hear that? Because normally this is exactly how it goes when I call somebody. Hey, are you interested in a role? This is what I saw in your background that I like. I've got this position specifically. There could be a couple of others. What do you think? Oh, yeah, that could be interesting. Okay, great. Can we set up a conversation to talk more about opportunities, plural, with my company? Great. Get
okay,
a resume.
Here,
get a time set up.
Pay,
then we
I
have a conversation. What
now
is the conversation?
I got an idea, Amy, before we move away from this. When I work on positions, I'm not an internal recruiter. I don't work for Microsoft, and you've told me you've been an agency recruiter as well. I'm working on one job at a time. I can't use that slippery line that you use. Is one job we're working on. What if the person says, hey, Animal, what's the range? What do I say? Can you give me some advice?
As an agency recruiter, the range is, you know, $50,000 to $65,000 a year, and frankly, a lot of that depends on how well you interview.
Hey, Animal, can I jump in here?
Please.
Please.
So I use salary as piece of a the
oh,
piece
man,
of
is it Rebecca?
Qualified.
Is it Rebecca?
Yes,
identify
it's Rebecca.
Yourself for the benefit. It's
sorry.
Rebecca Sargent.
What I do is I use the salary range as part of my qualify. And how I approach my candidates is I say, listen, my client has a specific range, and it could be higher or lower than what you're currently making. And rather than embarrass myself with giving you a range too low, could you please tell me what you're currently at? When they tell me where they're currently at, I'll give them the range that the client has. And explain.
So you're saying you go first. That's all you're saying, right? Show me yours.
But that's too much preamble and beat around the bush. I mean, what's your salary? As you're talking to the person.
And the person that
throws
the salary out in front of you, that usually the first number is a lie. So you need to be careful of that.
That's not what I find.
Okay. Now,
but what would I know?
Amy addresses that. She said, you know, these career coaches tell you that the first number a company gives you is a lie. That's right, Amy. That's what you say.
I don't think that. If we're talking about extending an offer, I'm not talking about the preliminary, you know, ranges and more general stuff. I'm talking about you've interviewed, you've gone through the process, we want to hire you. If I come to you and say, hey, congratulations, we want to make you an offer, here are the details, that is not the lowest number. I've been having conversations all along with the hiring manager trying to get you the best deal.
Okay.
All right? So
but,
I think it's
I want to turn the tables, Amy, because what we're talking about here, what Rebecca's saying is that when you ask a candidate for his or her salary, the first number they give you is going to be a lie. Do you believe that, Amy?
It can be. I mean, I have had candidates tell me the truth. I've had candidates, you know, waffle and say, well, I, you know, probably will average with bonus, and they, you know, they have all this extra stuff added to it. It doesn't really matter that much to me, to be honest. The only time it matters, and I had this happen with a guy just recently, it was probably about 3 months ago. Great guy, was referred by somebody I know, and just we had a great conversation. And in the during that scheduled conversation, what we call an HR screen, we talked about compensation. And I said, I don't know where you're at. You're pretty high up in your current organization, so let me just tell you, our target is going to be X. And he said, you know what? Thank you for telling me, because I'm at Y, which was about 50K more than where we could go, and this probably isn't going to be the right role for me. I said, okay, great. No harm, no foul. We just spent 20 minutes getting to know each other. Now we've got a new connection, and moving on. So it's fine. I mean, it's not time wasted for me, but at least we knew before the hiring managers got involved and before we start talking about interviews that we were too far apart. He was too senior for the role that I had at the time.
Okay. Jerry, what's your take? I want you to address this issue that Rebecca raised, that the candidates lie.
It hasn't really been my experience. I mean, I think that was just way too much of a preamble to asking a very simple, in my opinion, clinical question: what's your salary? I'm not talking about what salary are you looking for or what range
are you
after.
Yeah, what
are
you currently making is the question.
Yeah, and what's your current salary, Rebecca? That's what I would say, rather than, hey, God, I'm going to ask you something here, and let me just tell you, you know, I hear a wide variety of stuff, and it's cool, but, you know, you don't beat around the bush. That's just my own personal approach to it.
What are you currently making? And
hey,
a lot
line.
Of times, I bet you probably 3 out of 5 times they don't want to say.
Okay, there's a guy
who
wants to talk. Identify yourself, please.
Hey, it's Durbin.
Okay.
Jerry's thing is straightforward, but it's also a form of candidate intimidation. It's saying, what's your salary? What are they going to say? If they hem and haw, they're afraid that Jerry won't talk to them anymore.
Intimidation?
So
yeah, how is that intimidation? This is Reed. How in the world is
what's
that
your salary? What are you going to say? It's a straightforward yes or no.
Yeah, but
if he doesn't say, they're playing games.
Right, but I just don't see it as intimidation. That's all I'm saying, Turbin.
Well, I mean, it is, though. It's saying, hey, answer this question. And then it's
No.
Yeah. Hey,
what do you say? Well, what is the salary when they come back to you? Now they're playing games, and they all know this. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's part
I
of it,
think
too.
People,
you
I have
want
to disagree.
That.
I have to agree with Durbin. Hey. I think the ordinary person is not used to discussing their salary with a stranger, and it might make them feel cornered.
I don't call somebody up and say, hey, Animal, I know you're a software guy. What's your salary? Tell me now.
That's the beauty
I'm only going to jump into that once we've established, hey, this guy might be interested in taking a look at this company over here. And I've already spoken to him about how long he's been where he is, what he's working on, you know, what's made him think that maybe it's time for a change. And then I'm going to move right on into, and what's your salary? What's your current salary?
So you've made them feel good. You've made them feel like you're a friend. You made them feel like you have an interest in being a recruiter.
Yeah, I'm not so much being their friend. I have established that I'm... No, I don't want to be anybody's friend. And I'm not,
yeah, I know you
I'm not these guys' friendly.
They think you're a friend. They think that you're their recruiter.
Well,
I mean,
they think that you're trustworthy.
No, just like my dentist and my doctor, I mean, I trust them. I respect them professionally. They're not my friends.
Well, there's your
they don't need to be my friend.
Price with your doctor or dentist, you negotiate it with their office manager.
She's a hag.
Okay, you know what? Let's not fight over if you're a friend or you're just a trusted professional. There's not much difference. It's the element of trust is the key there. Now, I got to say,
there's not
Will
much
Thompson,
difference for you, Animal, because you don't have any friends. But you don't even know.
Yeah, Will.
I used to be his friend, but now I'm mad at him.
Yeah, Will Thompson. I'm not giving her enough time.
Here's what I say.
No, I just want to say what Will Thompson says. There's nobody watching Twitter for me. He says he doesn't think that the majority, in caps, of candidates lie about salary. Okay. So Rebecca, when you're when it's your show, September 25th, we gotta take on Will Thompson because he's disagreeing with you. Okay.
And by the way, I don't think it's bad to ask salary. I do the same thing for Jerry's. I'm just not pretending. I'm not intimidating them to give me the answer.
Okay.
So what do you come out and say? I'm intimidating you, but this is the question.
Rick Creamer,
no,
call
in.
Them. I make sure they know that
I'm here.
I ask what the salary is.
Animal, my ears were burning.
Make?
So yeah, here I am.
Okay. So what do you want to say, Rick?
No, I mean I just. You know, when you're talking about, you know, Amy, give a range, blah, 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 that's not been my experience with people in her position, that they would give you a really, really specific range. When she talks about giving that big range, that's what I'm more used to from the internal recruiters.
If you're asking so early in the process that I don't have a real answer for you, and I'm talking about the first five-minute cold call, not the first actual screening call. That's when we're going to start the salary conversation. But if I've been on the phone with you for 5 minutes and you want to start talking about money, you know, we can talk about it, but we're going to talk somewhat generally because there's still so many things I don't know to give you a more detailed answer. We're going to get a more detailed answer before you get in front of the hiring manager. But in the first 5 minutes,
the last thing I'll say, the last thing I'll say about this,
Amy,
I think salary is a major motive for making a move. Salary is a major motive, and so people have a legitimate interest in the salary. So you essentially, though, are making it clear that can't be the first thing we discuss. Let's find out who you are.
No, I'm making it clear that we're going to talk about it very early on, but it's going to be during a scheduled call when we have an idea of a specific role or two we're going to pursue. Because why am I going to give you a range only to find out that you're better suited for a different role, whether higher or lower?
Yeah, okay, but I'm making you pretend that you're an agency recruiter like most of us here and you don't have a half a dozen jobs to offer one person, okay? That's what we're talking about.
Now, yeah, well, I was an agency recruiter,
job.
I did, so there you go.
Put her in that role. Pardon me?
She. This is Nahez out of Detroit. No, her approach to identifying a candidate's income, present income and then targeted income, is completely different to an outside agency approach. So it's
yours?
Not that it's bad. It's just that she's got a lot more levity behind her because she can say, hey, look, by the time we end up filling out an application, you're going to end up giving us your salary history anyway. Give me an idea where we're at right now.
I'm not going to give salary history on an application.
Well, you better, or you're out, Al Fleur. That's what she told us right away.
I honestly don't even know if ours asked for it, to be honest. I have to move on,
okay?
I would like to add one point, though, just kind of off. Was that Durbin's point there? That Amy is in a different position. She is the employer. So there's less of this, I'm going to weasel around with this agency recruiter guy and see how much I can get. I think there's a different perspective that candidates are going to give to either ex-recruiter that's gone internal.
I want to move on. Now, a lot of these articles, don't make me mute everybody. A lot of these articles say that the employer wants to see you negotiate because they're going to test your negotiation skills by the way you deal with them. Now, Amy says that's nonsense, but she wondered about it herself. Didn't you, Amy, when you got the offer? Go ahead.
Yep, I did. So we had talked about a specific conservative number, which was great, and I would have gladly accepted. But I had, you know, kind of another secret number in mind, right, where I thought, okay, if I can just get that number, that would be really, really awesome. I'll take the other number, but, that would be, like, the best target ever. I ended up getting an offer that actually exceeded my kind of secret desire number.
Yeah.
And I said, that's great. I think that's an awesome offer. I really, really want to work here. And I said, I'll be honest with you, my recruiter. I want to say yes to this offer because I feel great about it, and it's wonderful. But I have to ask, especially as a recruiter, am I expected to negotiate? Is my future boss, your client, looking for me to come back and, you know, whatever? And he's like, absolutely not. He said, our philosophy is we give a fair offer from the first step. Like, we're not going to play games. We're not going to goof around with you. We're not trying to lowball you. We put together what we think is a fair offer that we want you to say yes to from the very first offer.
Bullshit. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Salespeople, part of the interviewing process for a salesperson, is they better negotiate their offer.
Okay. I want to move on to actual – I told Amy to bring stories. I want to hear about negotiations with candidates that she's been involved in. Did you bring any stories, Amy? Although, you know,
yeah, which one would you like?
I want to just – you have – tell us some stories where you gave a figure, the candidate wanted something else, and you guys had to come to an agreement, how it worked out.
Okay, so you want a happy story? Because I have some sad ones.
You want to tell a – let's tell a story that didn't work out first, okay?
Okay, I'll tell you a story. I have three stories that didn't work out.
Okay,
so one was a slightly more junior candidate. This is pretty bonus heavy. This is at my previous company. Pretty bonus heavy role. It was a base salary plus a pretty significant bonus plan. I had salary conversations all the way through the process with both the candidate and the hiring manager. I had the candidate pre-closed at 43. Like, that was the number we'd settled on. Yes, I would seriously consider accepting an offer. It came in at 43K. And I tried to get the hiring manager to go to 45K because I wanted to, you know, again, I would like to be able to come in and say, hey, guess what, I got you more. I mean, that's a great conversation. So the hiring manager decided to dig his heels in and say, no, I'm only going to go to 42. My other guys are making, you know, 40, 41, whatever. I'm going to 42. I said, that's a crap offer. I'm not going to extend it. And he said, nope, that's what I want. That's what we're going to do. Let's see if he'll take it. I called up the guy. I said, hey, you know, I wish I had better news for you. We had talked about 43 being a minimum. I'm going to let you know. Hiring manager wants to come in at 42. What are your thoughts? And he said, nope, that's not going to work for me. I want 45. I said, okay, that's totally understandable. Because now the candidate's upset, rightfully so. I was upset too, to be honest. So now he's mad. He's like, you know what? I thought about this a lot. Based on all these factors, I want 45. Okay, great. Go back to the hiring manager. Hey, this guy wants 45. This is why I think it's reasonable. This is why I asked for that up front. We had that whole back and forth, fighting with the hiring manager, calling in directors, and it was ridiculous. The offer held firm. Oh, no, the manager did agree to go to 43 then. But at that point, by the time I went back to 43, which was the original number that should have worked, the candidate's pitch turned us down.
Uh-huh. Now, were you ashamed personally?
For another 3 months.
Were you ashamed?
I was embarrassed. I felt that it was handled very poorly, and I never should have extended the offer. I just shouldn't have done it because I knew it wasn't going to get accepted.
Tell us about another failure.
So another failure, this is a company I was not involved in, but I was kind of on the peripheral of it. I'll just leave it at that to protect the guilty. A friend of mine was a director of recruiting and was hiring a recruiter, actually, a corporate recruiter. And so this, you know, professional courtesy or whatever, was very, very transparent with her candidate about the range and said, this is where we're going to land. This is likely the offer that I'm going to be able to give you. Do you still want to pursue the position? Of course. Go through the whole process, interviewing with VPs, the whole thing. Comes back with the promised strongest offer, the number that she'd been sharing all along and saying, this is what I want to get you, was able to get that. The guy ended up for the next 2 days still trying to negotiate more vacation and more bigger bonus, like all these other factors, trying to get more and more. And my friend said, listen, this is what the offer is. I told you this from day one for the last month. This is where we're at. Are you taking it or not? And he finally did end up taking it, and he bounced like 6 weeks later for more money.
Uh-huh. And why did she accept him at that point? She wasn't aggravated or turned off the candidate by his stubbornness, let's say?
You know, she was frustrated, but...
So negotiate.
I don't know.
My point is that if you negotiate hard for a price you think is fair as a candidate, mm-hmm. are you screwing up your chances of getting that job?
No.
Sometimes.
It depends.
Sometimes,
I mean, she
yeah.
wasn't going to pull the offer.
Yeah,
she wanted him. She knew he could do a good job. She was concerned. It did, you know, raise a few flags. but she really wanted to hire this person, and she had been honest and transparent all the way through. Like, there were no surprises. He got the number he was told he was likely to get all through the process.
Okay, I want to say something and move on to a happy story. I want to say something and move on to a happy story. Recruiter Betty says, Animal, I did negotiate my own salary and then had to hear my boss tell me weekly that he would have paid me more. That's not very nice or pleasant. So you can't undersell yourself. It's just true. You can leave money on the table. It's really hard to figure out where you stand. Because not every employer, obviously, that's personal testimony, is going to try to please the candidate like your current employer pleased you.
That's a shame. I mean, I've been a corporate recruiter for two organizations, and with the one exception that I just told you about, I have not extended what I felt was a lowball offer.
Okay.
And I just won't do it. So I can tell you that.
You helped. I got to move on so I can get some of your stories.
Please
Everybody's interested here. Sorry, Jerry. Now, you helped your friend negotiate a salary. You got her. Come on, tell us that story, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. She's actually in Detroit, so Nehas can maybe speak about
you.
How hard
go,
it is
go for a coffee
to find. Yeah, exactly. So this is a lower-level role. She is an admin, I think, for an insurance company or something like that. But she had been making pretty crappy money, like hourly. And she had interviewed for another company and had gone through the offer process. Everything. She got an offer. So this is when I come in the process. So she calls me up. She says, I got this offer. I think it's a good offer. I want to accept, but I was kind of surprised that it was lower than I expected. I said, okay, well, you know, tell me the details and walk me through the whole story from finish. So she had been offered $33,000 a year, which, again, for an admin in Detroit, maybe not horrible, right? And I said, well, what are you looking for? Like, what's your target? She was really hoping to get close to 40. I said, okay, well, let's do some homework. So we did looked at all the salary stuff and looked at, you know, what other people were making and as much research as we could on all those sites that I know Sandra hates. And I said, okay, 35 to 40 seems to be the right range from what I can gather. Go back to the employer and say this. And I told her to say, Mr. Employer, I am so excited about this opportunity. I definitely want to come work here. That said, I've done some homework. I'm looking for, you know, closer to 40. I know you've offered 33, which I think is great. And, again, I'm really honored to get an offer and want to work here. What are your thoughts on, you know, where I'm looking to be? Is that reasonable, or what do you think? And so she kind of put it back on the employer. Like, what do you think about my expectations? And he said, let me get back to you. And it showed she was sweating bullets for 24 hours. He came back and said, okay, we can offer you 36, but that's the best offer we can do. And she took it. So she's now making $36,000 a year. She's still shy of what her target of 40 was, but she interviewed coming from a position where she's making $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's 24K to 36K,
the lesson there is
significant bump.
Ask for what you want and be willing to walk away if you can't get it. Is that the real lesson?
I don't know that she was willing to walk away. She would have taken $33,000 because even that was a significant bump from where she was. But what she did is she framed the conversation in a positive way where she led with, I want to work here. I think this is a great place. I am so honored and grateful that you made me an offer. But here's my question. See, a lot of candidates kind of mess up where they come in like, well, I'll just leave it because you know what? You need me more than I need you. And they have kind of this arrogance about them, and that's very off-putting. She was very kind and a little more gentle and made sure to thank the employer for picking her, but then still asked for what she wants.
Okay, now I see here, again, I got a note from another article. It says, first make sure they want you before you talk money. Don't name a figure until you know they want you. You keep telling me that is absolutely a no-no. Can I say, so is that again, right?
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. Why would you wait till the last minute to have any salary conversation whatsoever?
Uh-huh. Okay, but that doesn't make any sense. General philosophy. That's the philosophy of most articles. Anybody want to say something now? There's people. I know we're eager to.
Does anybody think that that's a good idea? And can I understand why that's a good idea?
No.
Hey, they won't talk. They won't talk now. They'll wait to hear until you're gone.
That's not a good idea. Who would say wait until the very end to discuss salary?
About 95% of people writing career advice articles.
Yeah.
They'll be fired.
So you get an offer.
They're not
recruiting.
Because they're saying that's when you have the most leverage.
Yeah, present your value proposition. Make sure that the person wants you before you start talking money, you know?
If I'm calling you about a specific role and I'm putting time on my calendar to talk about a specific role and where you might fit in the company, I want you.
Okay. Yeah, but that's
not... So let's talk about money.
That's not the same thing as... That's our needs and our wants. When you're involved in the recruiting process, you're spending time. The thought is, hey, negotiation is great when you have the most leverage, which is true. If you put all this time into finding the candidate, the manager says yes, what other time do you have that leverage? You don't have leverage once you're hired. Poor Betty was told she'd be paid more if she'd stuck out for more. And if you think about it, it actually makes sense from the standpoint of the candidate. If the company gets mad at you for negotiating, they care more about themselves than you. So no one's going to care about you. Why wouldn't you stand up? I mean, I know it's frustrating for us.
I don't get mad when a candidate tries to negotiate. I don't, like, take it personally. I don't view it as an insult. Again, I think there is a way to have that conversation. I think, first of all, it's important to talk about it all through the process, okay? I am, as an agency recruiter or as a corporate recruiter, my job, in part, is to make sure that you, as a candidate, get an offer that is going to make you happy. I don't want you to just take it because you need a job. I want you to be thrilled with this offer and with the idea of joining my client or my company. Okay, so that's why we're going to have this conversation all the way through. I will continually go back to the hiring manager and say, okay, you had your phone call with him. What do you think? You know, where are you feeling like we might need to be budget-wise? Okay, the person's come in now in person. What do you think? They interview at the, you know, A-plus level. Do we want to look at an offer, you know, kind of at that range? I mean, these are conversations I'm having on both sides
and
all the way through.
And it sounds like you'll go to the wall.
If we don't talk about it at all,
you'll go to the wall with your hiring manager, right? Sounds like it to me.
Yes.
Is that right?
I have a question.
If you go to the wall with my hiring manager means that I will push back and tell them what I think, yes.
Animal, can
okay.
I ask your guest
can I ask
a question?
One more question just before you go, Jerry. What about multiple offers?
Just before you
what
go.
Said, no, before
I have
you,
a,
you
I have a question.
Yeah,
my
well,
contract
I have
says that I get 3 questions per show. I haven't used any.
You first, okay? Go ahead.
What about the candidate who's making 60 but they want 90, and 90 is right in the middle of the range that you're hiring for, and the person's qualified.
Then they'll get 90. They might even get 95.
Okay, so you don't care how far
nope.
underpaid they were or
nope.
the fact that
I'll
they're
give you,
trying
I have a story about that.
What?
Do you want to hear a story about a recent hire? It fits exactly that model.
I now have to turn it back over to Animal. Animal, do you want to hear this story?
Yes, please. Tell us the story.
Okay. Candidate that we found, had preliminary conversation with him. Here's the thing. This is the best part. This kid wasn't even working. He'd been ripped. Okay? I said, what are your expectations? What were you making? We had all those conversations. He had been making a fairly conservative number considering, you know, his experience and where he's coming from. Okay? In reality, he's currently, at the moment, making zero because he was no longer employed. Okay, I gave him an offer that was 15% more than his previous salary when he was actually employed. So 100% more than he was making as somebody, you know, who's not working.
That's not really a great story.
Why not?
I'm talking about the guy that's making 60 that wants 90. I'm not talking
about
the out of work guy.
Jerry, I have
what?
A story about that. I'll tell you very quickly, and then I want to ask Amy about multiple offers before the time is gone.
You've only got 7 minutes.
Yeah, the time has flown for me. It's a very interesting topic. It's a very good show. Thank you, Amy, for suggesting it. Now, here's a case. Harry Joyner, the marketing headhunter, he recruited some guy who was way, way underpaid. He was making around 65. And the job was in the 6 figures. I think they're willing to pay 6 figures for the right kind of person. So he went in, and I think he asked for like 90 or 100 for this guy, just to bring him up into the, you know, the lower or mid range of his that he should be getting. When the client company heard that he was making 65, they wouldn't give him in the proper range. They lowballed him, and once he was, you know, already in the moving mode. Once Harry had, you know, brought him to life into the search mode, he was recruited and he went somewhere else. I mean, so if you don't give somebody a competitive salary because they're not getting one now, you're going to lose that person. That's my belief.
I agree. I think you should always bring a competitive offer.
Okay.
Why would you not? What do you have to gain by lowballing?
Well, they figure they can lowball the person.
Well, because that person, the only reason that they would want to make a change is because they want a 50% increase. That's their motivator. But they're qualified. They're a good person. But, you know, if it wasn't a huge raise, he'd stay right where he is.
Well, yeah.
Does that bother you?
To leave. That's a good reason to leave. That's a fantastic reason to leave.
Also, now people that just want to increase their salary, that we're going for that now.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to find the people
reason.
Who that's really second or third on their list. Did I miss the memo?
That's a baloney thing. That's the self-serving for the employer. They don't want you to ask for more money, so they say you should appreciate the job.
It might be self-serving, but it's what's going on. And I'm not talking about less money. A guy making 70 gets offered 75,
yeah,
not 120.
Uh-huh.
You need to get back in recruiting him, or that's changed.
I mean, even if that's where, maybe
okay,
they're coming
no,
from a nonprofit.
About, we're talking about apples and oranges. I was talking about someone who's underpaid. Amy, it's the last question almost. Multiple offers. What about multiple offers? Also, first, Rebecca Sargent, do you want to give us a date for your next webinar?
September 20th is my next date for building business through marketing candidates.
Okay, and what's the website?
rbs-staffing.com.
rbs-staffing.com. I don't believe in hyphens, but rbs-staffing.com. Okay, what if somebody, you're dealing with somebody in a negotiation, and the person says, Amy, I like the job, but, you know, I've got a lot of offers right now on the table.
Yep.
I hear that's
I
very
had that
common
happen.
In your business.
Yeah, I had that happen recently. It was a really good offer with a fairly common competitor for talent. And we were, you know, our offer was what it was. And I told him that. I said, there's not a whole lot I can do. You know, it was giving you a really solid offer out the gate. I think we were able to tweak sign-on bonus, if I remember correctly. So we were able to kind of sweeten the pot just a little bit on another area. But ultimately, he did it. He did take our job. And what he told me is the reason that he went with us is because he felt like we had been the most honest throughout the process. He said he knew from day one what specific role he was coming in to talk about. He had, you know, really good understanding of what he could expect in an offer. He knew what the duties of the job were. Maybe there was more than just compensation at work here, but it was basically the way that we were very transparent and very open that he felt comfortable joining our organization over another very large
okay, and you
supplier.
said
sounds
on
like
recruiting
a Disney
blog. Hold on a second. Let you guys go. You're going to discuss it with Jerry. I just want to get this in. You said on because I know I read her stuff. You said on recruiting blogs, making a trusting environment for the negotiation is the recruiter's main job. Yes or no?
I think it's very important. It's the main job when it comes to offer conversations.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now there's a guy who replied to you named Bill Schutz. Or Schultz,
yeah.
Or something, or whatever. Cool. He says, I interviewed five people yesterday face-to-face, and each one of them said, you're the first recruiter who ever asked to meet me. He said, it's sacrosanct. He didn't know how to spell it, but it's sacrosanct to negotiation. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? How can you negotiate with someone you've never met? Why would they believe you or you believe them? You've got to see the eyes.
Yeah.
Do this, and your placement rate will rise. That's nonsense. Okay, Amy, you can just say
I don't, I don't meet everybody. I only meet the ones that come in for an interview loop because I'm talking to Canada. Well, a lot of Canada from Canada, believe it or not, lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't meet everybody I talk to. But what I can do is, you know, just in building a trusting relationship, it can start with as simple as just returning a phone call when you say you're going to. You know, just simple things that we fail to do more often than not, and I do it too. I screw up too.
Let me come back to my last burning question. My last question, and they could discuss this for me if they want in the after show, or I'll take it up with somebody else the next time. But if you give someone a range, they're always going to want the high end. And if you come back with an offer that isn't the high end, they're going to get pissed off, right?
Okay, but we start with the range. I will typically be somewhat conservative in the range.
Bottom.
What's that?
If you tell me 50 to 70 and you come back and tell me 50, I'm thinking 70 and I'm pissed that you dare to get to the bottom of your range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, you know, 50 to 70, And then if we determine that, listen, you're a more junior person, you're really 50 to 60,
I'm
then I'm going to tell
enough
you that.
For you?
You're really
is that
40.
What you're saying? Is I'm not good enough
yeah.
for this company?
Yeah, that's
what's going to
happen. That's what happens. I don't know how to avoid that.
You know what?
I don't know how to avoid that myself. Okay,
I don't know how to avoid it either, but I'm going to tell you this. If somebody is a, and I'll use my current recs, if somebody is a PM program manager candidate and they think that they can be a senior program manager candidate, I will be happy to explain why we can't talk about that senior level.
Oh,
okay, everybody, if you want to be aligned, Recruiters.com, Recruiters.com. I'm up there. I think most of the people here have registered for Recruiters.com. Recruiters, not Recruiter, Recruiters. Also, online job tours. I'll tell you about that next time. Amy, it's been a very interesting show for me. Thank you. Jerry, we're
thank
going
you.
To you.
Probably
going to
be a short show. Wow. What a show. What a show. I just found a purple sucker in the back of my desk drawer.
I'm not even going to touch
a purple squirrel.
I am not even going to touch that one.
Jesus.
It's not bad.
Are you
I'm
sure?
Mm.
Boy, the after show is a real downer after that show. That's a first.
Really?
Nahez, are you there?
You're just losing it, Jerry.
Yes,
step
sir.
Up.
Who's losing it? I'm not losing anything. Just in the middle of a bunch
the energy
of stuff.
Levels really dropped, I feel.
Was there enough in that show for you guys?
I think we wanted more.
I think
like
it
more
was...
time.
We always want more, Amy Alla.
What do you think? What do you say, Rebecca?
I just wanted to know if that was like finding a purple squirrel in your desk.
Well, I don't do purple squirrel stuff.
No.
Someone wanted to know, Kelly wanted to know if there is anybody who posts their job salaries on their postings and what impact that had on applications and the process. Anyone know any studies or had any background? I mean, I've never seen that. I'd love to know if that makes a difference.
Yeah, I'd like to know, too.
I want someone else to do it, but
wasn't Stephen O'Donnell a couple weeks ago saying not only should you post the salary, but you should post your client's name? That
well, that seems like a poor decision.
Could be.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. Is this Andy?
I just want to let you know I was here.
Way to speak up during the show. I know a lot of people save it for the after show. What's on your mind, Andy?
No, I, you know, I was kind of surprised that Amy, you know, when she said, the only thing I disagreed with that she said was, you know, it's not a game, because it is a game, and they make the rules, and we make the rules as recruiters. I mean, when you're calling a candidate, you're making a rule, and it's really, do they want to play? I mean, do they want to play? And if they don't want to play, that's fine, because we'll go find somebody else to play. And if you're Microsoft, like, that Amy works for, they really set the rules. And if somebody wants to focus on money, I mean, I can just hear saying, oh, really, you don't want to work at Microsoft. I mean, that's really what it's about. I mean, do you want to work for Microsoft or do you want 50 grand more? Because if you want 50 grand more, you go find that. That's cool.
Well, that I was trying to say earlier, Animal kind of dismissed it, but there's a big difference between a candidate talking to an employer like Amy and just some scumbag recruiter like me.
Hey, Jerry, go back and listen.
And I only stereotyped myself so as to not offend any of you.
Jerry,
I said it first. The commonality that we share is, do they want to play our game? Because we make the rules.
Supply and demand makes the rules.
I don't make the rules. I don't make any rules.
Supply and demand makes the rules. Go try and play that, play that we control it in the tech world in San Francisco. Good luck.
I don't believe in candidate control either. But we influence the process, and if somebody is just focused on money and who's the client, I can decide if I want to share that with them at this point or not.
Oh, that's true. Right.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you also if argue this with me, if a candidate's number one sole thing is money and money only, unless they're a contractor, chances are good I agree with you. I might either A, not present the person, or B, I might at least let the hiring team know that, because if they're going to come to you for an extra $1 to $5, they're going to leave you.
No, Alan, you missed the whole thing. That's all changed now. Animal just let us know.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, wanting to jump for any huge salary increase, that's the thing. It's cool.
Oh.
People who have salary as their sole reason for wanting to make a change, I always thought that that's not who we're looking for. Animal says that's the new thing. It's the new black. Yeah.
I thought that was always what everybody was looking for.
They're supposed to pretend like they want a challenge. They want career growth. They want a shot at management. They want to work on new software.
Not necessarily that. You're close, but statistically, money is usually number 3 or 4 out of the top 5 or 6, generally.
Do you trust them to say that? Is that really what they're saying?
Most good candidates, most realistic professional candidates, they're not going to lie and say money's not important. It is, but they do also...
Yep.
Good, smart candidates, and I'll take an argument on this one. A good, smart candidate, especially a contractor, not only are they looking at the current challenge, team, work, and money, don't get me wrong, they're also looking at that to help them to keep going up and up the ladder in whatever they think they want to do. And if it's like, look, we used to have, just really quick, in L.A., we used to have a government-esque agency that everybody outside is making 75. I could get you $150, $200 an hour for a 1 to 2 year contract, but you know what? After that contract, your skills are worthless on the open market.
Yeah. See, but regarding the candidate who would only leave for money, I just don't believe that that's really the case.
Well, I think you need to dig deeper.
Like
there has to be an underlying reason to substantiate the move.
What?
And it's usually that their boss is a dick.
For $1 an hour.
Yeah, well, honestly,
to
keep things on track, the conversation today was about negotiating money. Okay, so I concur with everybody here, but I also think it's very industry oriented on which candidates are going to be bigger negotiators than other candidates. I'm going to throw this out there right now, categorically. Never, ever, ever, ever give a candidate a range, period.
Yeah.
Categorically. Because if I'm going to buy a TV set at the local place, not Best Buy, but the other, you know, local place, and they got wiggle room or whatever, and the guy says, the range on this TV set's $500 to $700. My number is $500, right? And that's the thing. I'm actually kind of surprised. And this is not a criticism, but I'm surprised that Amy would offer ranges, because I'm sure that they, at her company, they have salary grades, and those grades do have established ranges that were approved by the board or whatever, right?
But that was the biggest problem, was that she was saying that she wasn't offering a range.
I kind of heard the other way.
I thought she said range.
She was trying to make it seem like she doesn't say anything. She doesn't answer the question, right?
Yeah, like the range was like, you know, 75 to 130. It was like, wow, okay, that's not a range.
That's
a ballpark.
No, and here's the thing. With regards to extracting, I guess this is just going to underscore, and I'll make it quick, but it'll underscore what Jerry said. Our shtick in our office is to get the candidate on the phone, explain to the candidate that we've taken a look at their background. We want to, make sure that where are you still working at company X? And the candidate says whatever. And then you say, okay, let me make a note in my database. And, oh, by the way, where are you at compensation-wise right now? I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times they just spill. And that might be my industry. It may just be my industry.
It's just really in the way that you
ask. Yeah, it's the way you talk.
Know?
Yeah,
right.
You structured it very simply that it was going to be, you know, Jerry had said to me he didn't like the way that I structured it, but you did the same thing. Let me just take a note, right?
Yeah.
You didn't back the candidate into the corner and go.
But, Rebecca, you seem to have, like, several paragraphs kind of making it a bigger issue than really than it is. You know, like if you go
sure
into your,
she's on her
yeah, it's
team.
Probably a little bit more scripted than yours, Jerry. Yeah, it is because of what I'm doing. I'm training, right? So it happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't train them to do that.
No,
I would.
Well, let me throw
you
out. You
don't go into
do.
Your doctor's no, office, and your doctor doesn't say, "Hey, man, I'm gonna need you to do something that's kind of freaky."
and you trust like, your doctor?
Oh my God, how can I say this? I'm just gonna come out and say it.
Bend over, Jerry.
I need it.
They don't do
yeah,
that.
And Jerry, you really worry me that you trust
me,
them.
That's, what's your salary
him.
Is our, hey, you're going to have to bend over for me, question.
Yeah.
And I,
Jerry, literally, if your doctor's telling you to bend over, they don't do that anymore. They do it off the PSA test. No, they do.
Oh, boy.
They do both.
Just so everybody knows, well, you're 40, you don't have
they
to bend
tell
over.
I ask for it. I want my money's worth, dude.
actually,
Jerry, but he better buy you dinner.
If I can make another point real quick, the other point I wanted to make is with the recruiters that were in our office here, and we're specifically honed in on the automotive industry. But one of the things, Jerry screwed me up.
You screwed yourself up, dude.
Here's what I do.
Do we get to rate Jerry later
client.
Too?
No.
Let's say client's saying I want. A client says, I want someone in the $60,000 to $80,000 range, right? So I go to the
yes.
candidate and I say, I have
how I don't go with that, though, man. Come on.
No, but here's this is what I say. So I know the client has told me the $60,000 to $80,000. I ask the candidate what they're making, and if they hem and haw, I say, look, I'm on your side here. We're going to pick a number. We're going to send it to them, and we're not going to pick zeros. We're going to come up with a number like 62.5 or 64.6. I give them a little more than they were asking for so that we have a very specific number that has no zeros at the end of it. That makes it look like we've thought about it, and this is our actual offer, which, one, is harder to negotiate. If you say 60 and I say 80, we meet at 70.
So you're telling me that you send in the resume with this is what the candidate wants?
Well, I put it as a submittal. No, I say this is what I tell the candidate that we're going to work on a number, and I send in that number, and the whole pitch is we're not looking for that. What do you need to be successful? And then let's talk about if that's we can get that or higher with the candidate. We're going to pick a number, not a range. So I get myself on the candidate's side, find a number they're comfortable with so there's no negotiation, and I tell them once we pick this number, I don't want to hear you coming up more. I'll dump you out of the process because you and I are going to figure that out. And it's
I think you'll find that many of these companies, or perhaps it's just the companies that I work with, they're smaller IT departments. There's a specific skill set that they're looking for, a specific level of experience, and there is a dollar number already in the books that this person comes in at. So you're not going to play games with, well, he needs $73,595. Because the salary for this job is about 70. When my customer says, well, their range is, you know, 70 to 85, I'm going to ask, where do you see this person fitting on that? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Do you want the $70,000 person, or do you want to use your whole budget and get as much as you can? And they're going to say, well, the midpoint for this is like 78. The last couple of people I've hired, they were both at 75, so probably right in there. So you,
right?
I'm not playing games
line.
With this stuff, man. Maybe you guys all are. You know,
yes, it's not games,
home.
But Jerry,
and,
let me.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. See, and it was already brought up. Contractor perm, when the company says one number, the company says 70 to 90, you're talking with the candidate. The company, my experience tells me, the company's sort of looking at the 70 plus a little more. The candidate's looking at the 90, maybe a little less. But just like Rebecca said and everything else, and everybody I think that's good, you're gonna keep qualifying that along every step and kind of close that loop as soon as possible to a degree. And if the company is going to come back and say, well, Jerry, I said 70. You said 70 to 90. Well, I didn't
say that. No, but Alan, I wouldn't leave them at 70 to 90. And when they
right.
And so when they said, well, I told you 70, well, that'd be the case because I had them get specific with me. So the range doesn't do me any good.
It does in the first conversation sometimes, because then you go to the next conversation, you're like, okay, look, we're probably looking 75 to 80. That's probably real. How are we right now or something? And you just keep shortening and shortening the path.
No, that's, again, you know,
Let's play games with it, man. I just don't have
no, look, if it's contractors, it's a lot more quicker.
I only work 3 hours a day, dude. I can't schedule the fifth phone call with somebody to finally ask a question.
I get most of it out of the way, too.
I have a question for Jerry. Jerry,
yeah.
How many candidates do you just basically screen out based on that question? Like if somebody decides that they're not going to tell you their range, do you just drop them and run to the next candidate?
No, I'll say, well, if it turns out that you're really interested in this, I'm going to put your current salary right there on the introduction to the customer. So, but frankly, Rebecca, though, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
people tell me what their salary is.
Yeah, like some
Jerry,
people.
I have.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, stop. You guys, go ahead.
Go ahead, interjector.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was such a good point. I needed to make it, but I've always used it as a measure of how realistic are they. I mean, if a guy is making 60 and he thinks he can get 90, I'm probably not going to help him.
That's the cool thing now.
Yeah, well, I know.
You heard from Animal. That's fine. If he was making 60, he'd want 90.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm just not that good, man. I'm just not that good.
One, someone paid me $150 an hour like 6 years ago, and I think that's what I should make now, even though my salary is $72,000.
Right.
It came back to me. Okay, one of the things that we remind each other in our office is that, at least in our industry, again, I'm going to put that caveat on there, candidates do not know how to negotiate. And that was a little bit of what I was hoping to hear about a little bit more in the first hour. They really don't. Our candidates are brake engineers, okay, or design radios or design tool and die. They should be going 5, 6, 7 years between changing jobs. They don't really know how to negotiate. So as a headhunter, we try to ease the pain on that and maximize what we can get them. So anyway, that was my only other note, is candidates don't know how to negotiate, especially the candidates that we're finding, the ones that are like the 22 to 34 range right now, that's 22 years old to 34, really, they need to, I'm not going to call them names, mom and dad, had never taught them those skills, and I mean, I don't mean every single one of them, but we have a lot of trouble with them, because anyway.
But really, I don't know about this whole negotiation thing. I mean, don't you really want to, with your candidate, just kind of establish, okay, well, here's where you are. Here's a reasonable expectation for you. I don't always believe that somebody gets a $10,000 raise just because they change jobs every year and a half.
I agree with you, but I think it doesn't happen.
So you have to come to some agreement that, well, then, 75 would be a reasonable offer. And by the time the offer gets there, there isn't any. It's, the offer is hopefully a confirmation of everything that you've discussed with your candidate and your customer.
Right.
Negotiation's done.
Well, then, if you've done your job, it's done.
Let's get to some scores here because this has been a very lively after show, but Animal likes to cut me off at about the 18-minute mark, and we're kind of pushing that. Andy Gregory. Did he hang up? What a loser. Nahez.
I was muted. I gave Amy 85, and because I have to. And I'll get
Is that
Animal.
Your range?
Yeah, and Animal. Animal was going to get 55, and I'm going to give him a 70.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I think he's worth it now.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Well, he was very motivated for a high score, so that's why he wanted to make sure today's show was excellent. So
he did a good job. Alan Fleurer.
I came in late, Jerry, but what I heard is I like Amy. I like where she comes from. I'll give her a 78. Animal was – this part I caught was snarky. I'll give him a 70.
snarky. Durbin.
I'll give Amy an 85, but I'll give Microsoft a 54 for the negotiation stance.
Yeah.
And I'll give Animal a 75.
Oh,
I, when big companies talk to us about how they run things, it just makes me giggle a little bit. So.
Yeah. But they do kind of set the tone for everything. I mean, you're not going to go tell Microsoft how it's going.
No. I'll go work with somebody who'll pay me more and faster. Good for them. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not really analogous to most of the rest of us.
Us regular people.
Although it's fascinating to listen to her talk about it, you know.
Rebecca, what do you think about the show?
I'll give Amy an 80 minus 5 because she's a corporate recruiter.
Yep. That's a good point.
Animal, an 85. I like how the show moved along today.
Okay. So you're staying busy up there?
I'm swamped, yep.
All right. Andy Gregory, did you hang up? I mean, did he hang up? Is that the deal? Is there anybody else who maybe has not had a chance to chime in, just listening? Somebody's got us on speakerphone while they're messing around on Pinterest. Nobody.
They're looking for their purple lollipop.
There you go. Okay, guys. Anything? Any other points? Anybody like to make a note of?
Yeah, I got some Canadians that want to know when you're throwing a barbecue, Jerry.
Barbecue.
At your
place. I just did three chickens last night. It was great for 4 hours on 210. Oh, perfect. Little apple juice spritzer on them about every half an hour.
Will you put that recipe up on Pinterest for me, on your Pinterest page, Jerry?
I could do a picture of them. I take a picture of everything I eat. It's weird.
I ruined my brisket. I still got to practice.
Dude, I've only done one brisket, and it was awesome. But I let it cook for like 20 hours.
Yeah.
But it was just killer.
Forever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I think that's my favorite. Brisket is my favorite, I believe, more so than the pork butt. Yeah. All right, everybody. I hope the rest of your week is fantastic. And we'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.